blessed, that all of you are blessed today. Amen. The best thing to do is to worship God, you know. Sometimes you can dance. You'll see in the Kings, Samuel and Chronicles, you'll find David sang and danced all the way until he didn't realize his entire wardrobe fell down. You know, he danced and he just worshiped God. He didn't realize his wardrobe fell down. He was a king, but he didn't have anything except for a loincloth, nothing else. That is why his wife looked at him, Michal, and said, cursed him and said, how can you be so foolish? So you'll find that, you know, he danced before God. So today we are pleased that we could dance before God, we can sing to God, because we are serving a God who is a great God. We are serving a greatest God that ever you can ever find on earth and everywhere, universe and Milky Way. This is the God we want to serve. This is the God who gave us his life for us so that we can be today together celebrating. There's a difference between others and today. We'll talk about it afterwards. I'm happy to receive Pastor Abed Nego from Solo, from Greater Pentecostal Emmanuel Rehoboth. It's a Pentecostal revival church in Solo. And we pray that not only he came alone, he came with his team of them together to worship together. So you've got two sons here and one more upstairs daughter. And also you'll find the others are also his daughters and sons. All of them are part of it. The lead worshiper was his daughter-in-law, the drummer's wife. And they've got upstairs, they've got a grandchild up there. And I pray that God will also bless them. This is a church which I waited for many years before I could go out into the world. The Lord told me not to go out first. So I waited for some time. And God released me in the year 2010 to go out of this church to preach. So I waited for 6 years before I was released out from this church. So then I started preaching. This was the second church I went to in my preaching outside. And this is the church where there was a lot of, in Solo, there was a lot of mighty miracles that we've spoken about. Mighty miracles, signs and wonders, prophecies which has come to pass, which God has spoken to their life. Every one of them received it. And I know the whole team who are here will receive word of God. And I just want to thank God for his word so faithful. Amen. So I just want to welcome those of you here for the first time. I welcome all of you here. Whoever you are here for the first time, I just want to welcome some of you gone away for a while and came back. We just want to welcome you. Before the message today, I've asked Pastor Abed to preach a few words because God has spoken to him, burdened him the other day. You know, those of you who did not come on Good Friday, it was a wonderful message. If you want, you can get it from the back there. You can ask Brother Brian. He can let you know. It was translated. That's the day we found a new translator for us in our church. From Bahasa Indonesia to... So people do not know their capacity until you're put into a place where you don't have any capacity anymore. Right? To find yourself, you must be pushed to the corner. Then you'll discover the gifts that you have in your life. So I would like to welcome Pastor Abed Nego and to give a few words of what God spoke to him about this church. So I just want to welcome him now. Pastor Abed.
Shalom.
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 Puji Tuhan.
Praise God.
Saya senang sekali untuk bisa kembali bersama-sama saudara.
I'm very blessed to be here to join you again today.
Sekalipun saya baru pertama kali ada di tempat ini.
When I was first time here in this church.
Tetapi saya merasakan ini keluarga saya.
I think that this is my family.
Amen.
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 Dan saya berharap seluruh jemaat di tempat ini bisa ke Solo.
And I hope that every members of this church will have opportunity to go to Solo.
Seluruhnya.
Every one of you here.
Puji Tuhan.
Praise God.
Pada hari Jumat yang lalu.
On Friday night, a few days ago.
Jam 3 pagi saya dibangunkan oleh Tuhan.
At 3 a.m. in the morning, I was woken up by God.
Saya sudah tidak bisa tidur lagi.
I couldn't sleep anymore.
Istri dan anak saya terganggu.
My wife and my children are
karena
also
saya harus ada sesuatu yang bunyi di sebelah dia.
Because there was something, some noise that we hear beside.
Tuhan suruh saya ambil ini apa kertas dan pen dan pena.
God asked me to pick up this paper and pick up a pen to write.
Dan dia mulai bicara kepada saya untuk sampaikan kepada saudara.
And the Lord spoke to me the message that I'm going to present to you today.
Saya percaya ini pesan yang sangat penting.
I believe that this message is very important.
Sebab yang saya tahu.
Because what I know.
Ketika Tuhan membawa sebuah pesan.
When God speak to us.
Pasti Tuhan punya rencana bagi gereja di tempat ini.
is obviously about God's plans for this church.
Dan rencananya bukan rencana yang kecil.
And his plan is not a small plan.
Tapi rencana yang besar.
But it's a big and majestic plan.
Amen.
Amen.
Ada satu ayat yang saya akan membaca. Ini ayat yang diberikan Tuhan kepada saya di dalam Amos pasal yang ke-9.
There was one word God given for me. It's in the book of Amos chapters 9.
Ayat Amos 11.
Verse 11.
Sampai ayat yang ke-12.
Until the verse 12. Amos chapter 9, 11 to 12.
Pada hari ini, aku akan mendirikan kembali Pondok Daud yang telah roboh. Aku akan menutup pecahan dindingnya dan akan mendirikan kembali reruntuhannya. Aku akan membangun kembali seperti zaman dahulu kala, supaya mereka menguasai sisa-sisa bangsa Edom dan segala bangsa yang kusebut milikku, demikian firman Tuhan. Demikian firman Tuhan yang melakukan ini.
Amos chapter 9 verse 11 to 12 says, on that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnants of Edom and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does this thing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Saya percaya ini menjadi bagian satu nubuatan yang sedang Tuhan sedang kerjakan kepada seluruh gereja di dunia ini.
I believe that this is a prophecy that is given by God for all the churches at this hour.
Salah satu dari apa yang sedang Tuhan rencanakan adalah memulihkan kembali Pondok Daud yang runtuh.
One of the prophecies that God, one of the plans that God given through this word is to restore the tabernacle of David.
Tahukah saudara apa yang menjadi istimewa dari Daud?
Do you know, brothers and sisters, what is so special about David?
Ada perbedaan antara kemah yang dibangun oleh Musa dan kemah yang dibangun dengan Daud.
There is a difference between the tabernacle that was built by Moses and the tabernacle that was built by David.
Ketika Musa disuruh Tuhan membangun kemah suci,
as God asked Moses to build the holy tabernacle,
di situ ada tiga ruangan yang membedakan.
There were three different areas within that tabernacle.
Ada halaman, ada ruang suci, dan ruang maha suci.
There was the courtyard, the holy place, and the holy of holies.
Tetapi kemah suci yang dibangun oleh Daud.
But the holy tabernacle that was built by David.
Tidak ada batasan sama sekali.
There's no limitation. There's no boundaries.
Di situ ada pemuji-pemuji.
In there, there are worshippers.
Ada penyembah-penyembah di situ.
And devotees.
Dan disitulah Daud menggunakan seluruh alat musiknya untuk menyembah Tuhan.
And that is where David used all his musical instruments to worship and praise God.
Nah, Tuhan mau berbicara kepada kita pada saat ini.
And God wants to tell us at this hour.
Ada sesuatu yang Tuhan inginkan dari hidup kita di sebagai gereja di akhir zaman ini.
That God expects something from us, from the churches at this hour.
Tuhan menginginkan tidak ada batasan lagi untuk kita datang kepada Tuhan.
God wants to tell us that there is no more boundaries, no more limits to God, in access to God.
Karena Yesus sudah mati dan Yesus sudah bangkit.
Because Jesus died for us and he rose again.
Dan selama-lamanya Yesus hidup.
And forever Jesus is alive.
Tahukah saudara bahwa sejak dulu Tuhan punya inisiatif untuk tinggal di tengah umatnya?
Do you know that since the time beginning of time, God wanted to live within his creations.
Saya ulangi hal ini.
I repeat it today.
Bukan kita yang menginginkan Tuhan datang kepada kita.
It's not that we want God to live with us.
Tapi Tuhan yang punya inisiatif untuk tinggal di tengah-tengah kita.
But it is God's own initiative to come and visit us and to dwell among us.
Sejak dulu dia punya kerinduan untuk tinggal di tengah-tengah umatnya.
It is from the beginning that he has this desire to dwell among us, to live among us.
Ketika umat Tuhan, ketika manusia meresponi apa yang menjadi kerinduan Tuhan.
When people, the creatures of God, responds to this God's desire.
Saya percaya sebenarnya disitulah berkat Tuhan turun atas kita.
I believe that is when God's blessing will fall upon us.
Persoalannya adalah ada banyak manusia di akhir zaman seperti yang dibaca firman Tuhan tadi dalam 2 Timotius 3 tadi.
But it is us that, you know, as we have read from 2 Timothy chapter 3 just now.
Ada banyak orang yang hakikatnya ibadah.
That a lot of people who come for worship.
Tetapi hatinya tidak menyembah Tuhan.
But their hearts doesn't actually worship God.
Mereka hanya datang secara fisik di dalam ibadah.
They just come here physically in a physical presence to worship God.
Tetapi hatinya jauh dari Tuhan.
But their heart is far away from God.
Ada Tuhan yang lain dalam hidupnya.
There are other gods in their life, in their heart.
Saya percaya.
I believe.
Seluruh jemaat di tempat ini.
That all the people in this church.
Tidak ada Tuhan yang lain.
There's no other God.
Kecuali Yesus yang sudah bangkit
except
itu.
Except Jesus Christ who has risen.
Amen.
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 Nah, saudara yang saya kasih,
my beloved brothers and sisters,
ketika kita menghargai Tuhan dalam hidup kita,
when we appreciate God in our lives,
dan memberikan penyembahan secara totalitas kepada Dia,
and we submit and we worship God in totality,
Tuhan itu ingin tinggal di tengah kita.
God will desire and want to live and dwell among us.
Saya percaya.
I believe.
Ketika kita bisa memberi hati dengan benar kepada Tuhan.
As we surrender all our hearts to God.
Ketika kita melayani dengan Tuhan dengan benar.
As we serve God truthfully.
Ketika kita menjadi penyembah dengan benar.
As we worship truthfully.
Saya percaya.
I believe.
Mujizat selalu ada di tengah-tengah ibadah kita.
The miracles will fall upon us.
Amen.
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 Karena Tuhan hadir di tengah kita.
Because God is present among us.
Nah, kekasih dalam Tuhan.
My beloved in Christ.
Tuhan menginginkan hari-hari ini.
God wants us in these days.
Mencari orang yang menyembah dalam kebenaran.
To find people who worship in truth.
Biarlah saudara Tuhan bisa menemukan di tempat ini penyembah-penyembah yang berkenan di hati Tuhan.
Let God find true worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth in this church.
Tuhan bukan mencari orang yang rata-rata.
God is not looking for ordinary people.
Tuhan mencari orang yang di atas rata-rata.
God is looking for people who are above
yang
ordinary.
Yang sungguh-sungguh memberi hatinya menyembah Tuhan.
That truly in totality give their life and their hearts to God.
Itu yang Tuhan cari.
That is what God is seeking.
Itu yang Tuhan akan pulihkan.
That is what God will restore.
Nah, saudara, saya temukan di Alkitab.
Brothers and sisters, I found in the Bible.
Seorang yang namanya Abraham.
That there's this person called Ibrahim.
Dia berani memberikan penyembahan yang tertinggi kepada Tuhan.
Abraham, sorry, that he gave the highest worship and highest honor to God.
Dia berani memberikan anak satu-satunya dikorbankan untuk Tuhan.
He even allowed his only single son to be sacrificed to God.
Itu penyembahan yang tertinggi yang Tuhan berikan.
That is the
yang
highest,
diberikan kepada Tuhan.
Highest worship and highest sacrifice.
Nah, Tuhan mencari orang-orang yang di atas rata-rata seperti ini.
God is looking for this kind of extraordinary
Tuhan
people.
Apakah Tuhan bisa menemukan di tempat ini orang yang seperti itu?
Will God find this kind of people here?
Orang yang berani memberi segalanya kepada Tuhan.
People who are not afraid to give his their all.
Banyak orang bisa memberi uang.
There's a lot of people who just give a little bit space.
Banyak orang bisa memberi dirinya untuk melayani.
A lot of people would like to commit themselves into service.
Banyak orang bisa melakukan sesuatu mengkoordinir dengan baik sebuah ibadah.
There's a lot of people who like to offer themselves in service.
Tapi pertanyaannya apakah orang itu memberi hatinya kepada Tuhan?
But the question is whether these people really give their hearts to God.
Tuhan mencari hati yang menyembah Dia.
God is seeking a heart that worship Him.
Dalam generasi Daud.
In David's generation,
Daud bukan orang yang sempurna.
David is not a perfect man.
Daud pernah jatuh dalam dosa.
David has fallen in sin before.
Tetapi Daud adalah orang yang berkenan di hati Tuhan.
But David is the person after God's heart.
Karena dia memberikan seluruh hidupnya kepada Dia.
Because he is dedicated, he's given all his life to God.
Mazmur yang ditulis oleh Daud.
The Psalms that is written by
itu
David.
Itu bukti kalau Daud memiliki hati yang menyembah Tuhan.
That is the proof that David has a heart for God in worship God.
Nah, saudara lihat.
My brothers and sisters, you can see.
Bagian Tuhan ketika melihat anak Tuhan yang memberi segalanya kepada Tuhan.
When God sees that His children worship Him in spirit and in truth in totality.
Tuhan turun di dalam penyembahan pujian itu.
God will come down within man. In the midst of their worship.
Bahkan ketika Daud main kecapi.
There's also when David plays his instrument.
Urapan Tuhan itu yang tidak ada batasnya itu.
The unlimited anointing of God has befallen David.
Melimpah saat itu.
It's overflowing in that moment.
Dan roh jahat yang ada dalam diri Saul pergi.
and that all the bad, evil spirit that was within Saul ran away.
Saya percaya.
I believe.
Kalau setiap hidup kita memiliki penyembahan seperti Abraham, seperti Daud.
That's if every one of us worship God like David and like Abraham.
Tidak ada kuasa gelap yang bertahan di tempat ini.
There's no evil spirit, no spirit of darkness will be here.
Tidak akan ada kuasa gelap yang bisa bertahan di negara ini.
That there's no evil spirit that will be able to withstand in this nation.
Dan Tuhan akan memulihkan segalanya bagi gerejanya.
And God will restore everything through His church.
Amen.
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 Nah, Tuhan menginginkan kita seperti Daud.
God wants us to be like David.
Tuhan berbicara kepada saya pada waktu hari Jumat pagi itu.
God spoke to me in that night on
Friday
night.
Ada dua pilihan yang dihadapkan kepada kita hari ini.
There's two choices that is given to us today.
Kita mau mewakili seperti keluarga Daud.
We can represent a family like David.
Yang memiliki penyembahan yang di atas rata-rata itu.
That have an extraordinary worship.
Dan Alkitab menulis.
And the Bible says.
Keluarga Daud makin lama makin kuat.
That the family of David is increasing in power and in
might. Saya ulangi, keluarga Daud makin lama makin kuat.
I repeat, the family of David is becoming
strong. Saya ulangi sekali lagi, keluarga Daud makin lama makin kuat.
That the family of David, I repeat again, becomes stronger and stronger.
Atau kita memilih seperti Saul.
Or do we choose as Saul?
Ya, Alkitab menulis.
That the Bible says.
Saul. Seakan-akan memberi kepada Tuhan.
As if give his worship to God.
Saul. Seakan-akan menyembah Tuhan.
Is as if he's praising God.
Tetapi Saul tidak melakukan dalam ketaatan.
However, he is not faithful.
Saul tidak melakukan dalam kebenaran.
He is not truthful.
Sehingga firman Tuhan menulis.
Until the word of God says.
Keluarga Saul.
The family of Saul.
Makin lama, makin lemah.
Is getting weaker by the day.
Keluarga Saul makin lama, makin lemah.
Saul's family is getting weaker and weaker.
Tuhan mau membawa pesan ini penting untuk kita semuanya.
God wanted to give this message,
Tuhan menginginkan setiap kita mewakili keluarga Daud.
God wants us to be like the family of David.
Makin lama makin kuat.
Getting stronger every day.
Amen. Amen. Tuhan ingin membuat keberhasilan untuk setiap hidup kita.
God wants us to be fruitful, to be successful.
Tuhan ingin memberkati keluarga kita.
God wants to bless our family.
Tuhan akan memberkati anak-anak kita.
God wants to bless our children.
Tetapi Tuhan mencari.
But God is looking for
orang yang berani memberi kepada Tuhan.
A person that is courageous to give
lebih
everything
di atas
to
segala-galanya.
God, above all and everything.
Tuhan berbicara pada hari Jumat itu memberi ilustrasi dan ini menjadi yang bagian yang terakhir saya sampaikan.
God spoke to me on that Friday night. He gave me an illustration and this is the last thing I'm going to speak.
Kalau
today.
Saudara dan saya, kalau saudara bekerja di sebuah perusahaan,
if you is working in a business,
setiap hari kita akan taat dan setia.
Every day we will be truthful, loyal.
Dengan jam yang tepat.
And faithful at the right time.
Dengan bekerja dengan baik-baik.
And work diligently.
Sekalipun,
even though,
kadang-kadang,
sometimes,
hati kita,
our hearts,
tidak senang mengerjakan itu.
Doesn't really like to work.
Supaya kita dilihat oleh bos kita orang yang taat dan setia.
But we want to come on time so that our boss will.
Kita juga akan melakukan pekerjaan itu.
We will see that we are faithful.
Bagi dunia.
So that people will think that we are working diligently for the world.
Bagi dunia itu tidak ada masalah.
For the world that is not a problem.
Tetapi kalau kita melakukan hal ini kepada Tuhan,
however if we do such things to God,
hal itu tidak pernah bisa terjadi.
Those kind of things cannot happen.
Karena kita
because
bisa menipu semuanya,
we can cheat everybody.
Tetapi Tuhan melihat kedalaman hati kita.
But God looks at our hearts.
Kita tidak bisa menyembah Tuhan.
We cannot worship God.
Sementara hidup kita tidak taat kepada Tuhan.
If our life is not faithful to God.
Kita tidak bisa menyembah Tuhan.
We cannot worship God.
Sementara kita tidak setia kepada Tuhan.
While we are not loyal to God.
Sementara kita menyembah Tuhan.
As we are worshiping God.
Tapi kita tidak hidup dalam kerendahan hati di hadapan Tuhan.
But we are not living in His will.
Saya mau katakan.
I want to say today,
ibadah kita sia-sia seperti itu.
Our worship is worthless.
Itu ibadah palsu.
Those are a false worship.
Dan Tuhan tidak ada di tengah kita.
And God is not among us.
Tuhan mencari hati yang bersih.
God is looking for a pure heart.
Tuhan mencari hati yang murni.
God is looking for a clean heart.
Apakah Tuhan bisa menemukan orang-orang?
Will God find these kind of people?
Seperti Abraham.
Like Abraham.
Seperti Daud.
Like David.
Bukan seperti Saul.
Not like Saul.
Kalau kita bisa menyenangkan Tuhan.
If we are able to please God.
Saya percaya.
I believe.
Seluruh ibadah kita.
The whole of our worship.
Dihadiri oleh urapan Tuhan.
Will be presence with the anointing of God.
Dan urapan Tuhan itu akan seperti gelombang laut.
And the anointing of God will be like the waves.
Yang akan melawat setiap hidup kita.
Sea waves that comes and visit every one of us.
Amen.
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 Sekali lagi, Tuhan mencari orang yang di atas rata-rata.
Once more again, God is looking for people who are above ordinary, extraordinary.
Tuhan tidak mencari orang yang biasa-biasa.
God is not looking for ordinary people.
Tuhan akan membuat orang itu spesial di mata Tuhan.
God will is looking for that person who is special in the eyes of God.
Mari kita tunduk kepala.
Let us bow and pray.
Hallelujah. 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 Tuhan,
Lord,
saya setelah menyampaikan apa yang menjadi pesan-Mu, Tuhan.
I've already delivered the message you given to me.
Kau ingin mencari di tempat ini.
You like to find in this place.
Anak-anak Tuhan.
Your children.
Yang hidup di atas rata-rata.
Who are living an extraordinary life.
Bukan biasa-biasa.
Not an ordinary life.
Ketaatan yang di atas rata-rata.
A faith that is extraordinary.
Kesetiaan yang di atas rata-rata.
Loyalty that is extraordinary.
Kerendahan hati.
A meekness of heart.
Tuhan, Kau sedang mencari di tempat ini.
God is looking in this place.
Untuk dipulihkan.
To restore.
Untuk dipakai.
To be used.
Untuk diberkati.
To be blessed.
Dan akan dipakai untuk memberkati banyak orang.
And will be used to bless a lot of other people.
Tuhan, Kau telah menunjuk gereja ini.
God has chosen this church.
Menjadi penyembah-penyembah dalam roh dan kebenaran.
To become worshippers in spirit and in truth.
Tuhan, Kau pasti menemukan orang-orang ini di tempat ini.
God, you will sure find this kind of people here.
Orang-orang yang seperti Abraham.
People who are like Abraham.
Berani memberikan penyembahan yang tertinggi kepada Tuhan.
That's able to give the highest worship.
Tuhan, Kau pasti menemukan orang-orang di tempat ini.
God, I'm sure you'll find this
seperti
kind of
Daud,
people. Like David.
Yang berani memberikan hidupnya seluruhnya dalam penyembahan kepada Tuhan.
Who's able to devote all his life to the worship of God.
Saya percaya.
I believe.
Engkau akan meresponi.
You will respond
dari orang-orang yang menyembah Tuhan
to those who worship you
dalam roh dan kebenaran
in spirit and in truth.
Kau akan berkati mereka.
You will bless them.
Terima kasih Tuhan.
Thank you Lord.
Terima kasih.
Thank you Father.
Inilah pesan Tuhan.
This is the message from you
yang hamba-Mu sampaikan.
That my your servant present here today.
Hamba berdoa. Hamba berdoa.
I pray.
Mulai hari ini.
I pray that from this day
Tuhan
forward.
Tuhan berikan benih penyembahan itu.
You will give that seed of worship
kepada setiap orang.
To everyone here.
Kepada setiap orang.
To everyone here.
Sehingga
until
gereja ini
that this church
penuh dengan kemuliaan Tuhan
is full of your glory
dan akan meluap kepada banyak tempat
and overflows to other places.
Terima kasih Tuhan.
Thank you Lord.
Dalam nama Yesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Tuhan berkati saudara.
Praise God. God bless all of you.
Sometimes at this time, God is seeking Davidic worshippers, worshippers who, without any kind of reservation, who is willing to come and worship Him. And when they worship, they will be worshiping Him in truth and spirit. When I go every time, you'll see when you go to the His church, why His church, the spirit of worship is so powerful? Because the children come and sit down. Even if it's a small group, they will come and sit down, hear the word of God from people who come all over the world. So they will hear the word of God. They're filled with the word of God. They're able to do things which is extraordinary. Even during the worship time, people get healed. Even during worship time, there are people being delivered of their deliverance. Even during the time, because they have the word in their spirit, and the word will come alive when you sing it out, and you see mightily the works work. Words work mightily like a double-edged sword. Amen? Praise God. That's for all of us to rise up for worshiping, because these are the days God is calling us to worship Him in spirit and truth. Amen? Praise God. Father, I just want to thank You for this day. Thank You for this message You've given me, Lord. We want to thank You for the people who are here. And I pray, Father, whatever I speak today will be from You, not from my spirit, not from my mind, not from my soul. But, Lord, it will come from You, only from You, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, take control of everything inside me that I will speak only Your word and nothing else. Amen. Praise God. In Psalm, if you look at Psalm, I want you to look at Psalm 118 verse 12. 118 verse 12. Mazmur. Mazmur 118 ayat 12 ya. It says, in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. In the name of the Lord, that he will destroy. So Jesus, today we celebrated, the last 2 days ago, we remembered, not mourned about Jesus' death on the cross, but we were remorseful of our sins. There is two things about our lives now. We have to be now understanding, we have to understand, kita kena fahami bahawa kita bukan mengabung, tapi kita merasa rasa sedih ataupun khutbah ataupun rasa rendah atas semua perbuatan kita, dosa-dosa kita. So we are supposed to now today to understand, not to be now thinking of, you know, of being mourning of Jesus Christ's death, but to be remorseful of our sin. So remorsefulness brings forth repentance. Amen. Hello? I don't know how to say that in Bahasa Indonesia, but I know surely all those things, remorseful, you are remorseful means you are sorry. You are so really sorry for what you have done. You see that sins of yours becomes a hindrance in your life towards going towards God. It becomes remorseful. When we are remorseful, we become no longer remorseful, but we become repentant. Amen. So in the name of the Lord, there is no other name except for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he did not buy us in by his blood or by breaking his body for all those things, scars he took. He did not take us for only partially. Dia tidak ambil, Tuhan Yesus tidak mati di atas salib kerana untuk sahaja separan, sebahagian daripada dosa-dosa kita. He did not die for only. He died for, number one, for our spirit. That our spirit shall be refreshed. Dia mati kerana untuk spirit kita, roh kita. Number two, he died for our soul. Our soul. Dia meninggal, dia mati untuk jiwa kita. And number three, he died for our body. There are three parts. So Jesus did not say, I'm going to only come here on the cross and only save you, only partially, only the spirit. Or neither did he say that I'm going to only take the spirit and the soul, because that is what is going to be judged. That's what is going to heaven or to hell. He said, I am also dying for the body. That is why God himself has to come as body of man. Otherwise he doesn't have to come down. Tidak usah Tuhan datang sebagai manusia. Kalau jiwa dengan roh saja dia mau kembalikan balik kepada syurga ataupun neraka. Tapi dia datang untuk badan juga. So he has got three parts. When I talk about these three parts, it's important for us to understand that Jesus did not die for only partially so that we can overcome everything else. So Jesus overcame death not for the things, the condemnation that we have in our spirit, in our soul, in our body, he has overcome. Amen? Do I hear amen? Amen. Because you must understand, unless your body, your spirit, and the soul are being saved, then we are totally saved as a human being, as God created. Do you follow? Okay? Kalau jiwa, roh, dan badan disembah, dicuci oleh Yesus, dalam kematian Yesus, kita sudah sembuh semua. Bukan separuh sahaja. Yeah, so ataupun sebahagian saja. So today we are now celebrating Jesus Christ. But today God will not, in the name of Jesus, because that body of Jesus Christ was put on the cross. Today we have that power that in the name of Jesus, everything that is in our body, our habits, everything can be overcome because of him. Everything our soul has got today, apa-apa yang dalam jiwa kita, kita boleh I don't know what is the word now. You can actually overcome it, okay? Mengatasinya. Ataupun badan, dalam badan. Apa-apa kita dalam rusuhan dalam badan. Semua boleh diatasi. We can overcome it because Jesus overcame for us. In spirit, in soul, and in body, Jesus overcame for us. That is why we celebrate here today for the celebration of Easter Sunday. They call it Easter. We call it Resurrection Sunday, because the word Easter, some of you are here for the first time, I must tell you, we don't use Easter because the word Easter is a pagan word which was picked up by the early churches to bring, as say, Easter. Easter is a day that where is a goddess of Esther, and she was able to give reproductive powers, fertility powers. That is why you have got this rabbit, a symbol. Rabbit does not give birth to one, many.
So Easter is the name which is from the pagan goddess which was brought together. Easter itu kita tidak panggil dalam gereja kita ini karena apa? Itu adalah satu-satu goddess yang fertility dulu dalam zaman ke gereja yang dulu. Jadi orang dari gereja ambil saja itu sebagai itu holiday untuk Easter. Jadi digunakan nama Easter. Kita sebagai orang yang sudah tahu ada fikiran, sudah beriman, kita bertahu dan kita tidak ikut dengan Easter, tapi hari kebangkitan. We follow the day of resurrection. Resurrection means there's no death. Resurrection totally in our body, spirit, and our soul. Amen? What is the difference between today, our resurrection power of Jesus Christ? And unless you understand this, today you will not know. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I assure you, we'll all have good food at 1 o'clock. I will not delay your stomach today. Alright? Alright. So, message will be short. You pray that the message will be short. Suddenly the Holy Spirit takes, I don't know, it's not my fault, okay? If the Holy Spirit is in power, it's not my fault. If I'm in power, I will stop exactly before, if possible, next 5 minutes time. If the Holy Spirit is in power, surely He will do something today. Amen? We are looking forward for a miracle today. How many of you are looking for a miracle today? How many of you are really looking for a miracle? Put up and say, yes, I am a man who said last night, I want a miracle, Lord. Lord, after sitting down last night, I could not get up. I'm having back pain, very severe back pain. Lord, I want you to heal me tonight. I went to bed. It was so painful. It was so painful. I refused to take the painkiller. And I said, no, I'm not going to take the painkiller because I believe in a resurrected God. And I slept. And exactly at 3 o'clock, God woke me up. I said, what is this? Am I getting up because of pain? Or am I getting up? So surely God says, I'm going to heal you now. I'm going to touch you. You can feel the warmth of the Lord at that time come over. After that, I could not sleep because the power of the Holy Spirit is on me. When the power of the Holy Spirit is in you, you will not feel sleepy. You'll be awake. Amen. So that's what's happening. You believe for something to happen today. I want you to remember this. As this power of resurrection is being spoken today, it shall be received by your spirit. And I tell you this, nobody ever will know. And you are not serving a God who is an ordinary God. You are serving a God who is mighty. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. You are serving a God who is so mighty. Amen. So when you believe that, things can happen in our life. So today as we read this, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, let's look at Corinthians, verse 14 onwards. Okay. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God. Because we have testified of God that He raised up Jesus Christ from whom He did not raise up. If in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterwards those who are Christ in his. At his coming. Amen. The word of God here says, Paul writes to the Corinthians, tells them, because they were non-believers, believers people, he says, they're not raised up. But I want to address this situation here today. The power of resurrection. The message today is about power of resurrection. The power of resurrection of Jesus Christ, you understand, is different from any other resurrection has happened in the Bible. Amen. Praise God. So today you'll find that even Jesus Christ is now risen, is not risen. Kalau kita tahu, kalau kita Yesus tidak bangkit, kita tidak apa-apa. Tidak ada kepercayaan hari ini. Walaupun Yesus sudah pergi ke salib dan ambil semua kesalahan kita, dosa-dosa kita, berbuat di atas, dipakukan di atas salib. If Jesus Christ is now today, is risen today, if He has done everything He has done on the cross, He has gone to the cross, He has nailed our sins on the cross, that's what the Word of God says, and He's given everything, His body was striped and everything for our sickness, if that is the only thing, and Jesus says, it's finished. And I want you to understand, it's not finished there alone. It's not finished. That's not a full stop. Then Paul says today, our faith is nothing, faith, futile. If I can today preach just now, say, Jesus has bought yourself, your soul, body and spirit. If you believe that, it is not just talk. If today Jesus Christ did not rise up from the dead, whatever I preach, whatever I preach all the century, is nothing. Futile. Tidak apa-apa. Tidak apa mana. Kenapa kalau Yesus tidak bangkit, hanya mati saja, tidak ada apa-apa testimony. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is the testimony of Jesus Christ's resurrection. That is what holds the church together. That is what brings the people, draw them together to Christ Jesus. You'll find people say, there are many people, even the other day I was debating with one man, or not debating, I was talking to this man, and he said that Jesus is only a man. Orang satu orang saya kenali, saya beritahu, karena dia itu berimam iman, dalam sebagai orang imam. So he said that, you know, dia berkata, Yesus hanya seorang manusia saja. So he said, Jesus is only a man. It's written in the Bible. He didn't address as, he didn't say, I'm the Son of God. He only said that he is the Son of Man. Hello? Everywhere Jesus says, Son of Man, Son of Man, Son of Man. So much so, those who believe in Isaac, no, not, those who believe in Ishmael, believe that Jesus is only a man. The Ishmaelites believe that Jesus is only a man. But I want to show something different about this man today. They think that it's man, but it's entirely God today. Okay, amen? So today you'll find the resurrection power. How did the resurrection power happen? There are many people in the world, you'll know that in the Bible says, there are people who were resurrected before, who were saved. What is the meaning of resurrection? People who died, they came alive. They were risen alive again. Is that right? That's the meaning of resurrection. Resurrection means people are dead. People who are dead, no more life. Now we've got life and come up. And come and stay alive. That's what we call resurrection. If you look at the gospel, you'll find in the Old Testament, you'll find Elijah in 1 Kings 17:17 to 24. Elijah raised a small child, widow's child, son. He was dead, he was raised. Then you'll find Elisha also raised a Shulamite's son. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to 37. He raises up a Shulamite woman's son. This woman did not have a child. And he said, he prayed and you'll have a child. She had a child. And after that, the child died. And then he went and laid hand. After that, immediately after that, the child rose again. Had life again. And Elisha also, when he died, you'll find also in Kings, I don't know, in Chronicles, you'll find that he, when he is, when somebody in the war, when he was dead and buried, he was already buried. So somebody, there was a war at that time, and during the time of war, they had to bring one man who was dead. They were trying to bury him. Because the enemy was chasing him, the Amalekites were chasing him, what they did was they went buried the place. Only one place they could find is in a cave. They buried this man called, one of the men who was dead, who buried him in the cave where Elisha's body was. Elisha's bone was there. If you go to Israel, you'll find that the bones of Israel, the people who are in Israelites, and they are buried, they're not buried under the ground. They're in the caves, and they have got all tombstones, and they have put them inside and leave them inside in the tombstone. So this man had no place. They placed him there. Immediately when this body touched Elisha's bones, he became alive. And I believe those people, the Israelites, were actually running away from a man who became alive, not from their enemies. The word of God said they ran. The people of God ran away. I believe they ran away because they saw this man who was dead. They just buried. He is coming after them. He's also joining. They're running away from him, not from the Amalekites, the people who are their enemies. So I believe that's what happened at the time. So all the people raised. In the Bible, in the New Testament says, you know, Jesus raised Lazarus up. John. Lazarus was dead. He was raised up. All right? And Jesus raised him. And the word of God says in Luke, in John 11 to verse 1 to 44, that Lazarus was raised in Bethany. And the other one is Jesus also raised in Nain, in a small town called Nain, the widow's son, he raised him in Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 17. Jairus' daughter was raised also, and she, in Luke chapter 8, verse 40 to 40, 56, you'll find that. All these people were raised from the dead. Are they raised from the dead? Hello? Do you believe they are raised from the dead? They were raised from the dead. See, what is the difference between Jesus Christ rising from the dead and these people? What is the difference? The difference is this. Every one of them, Lazarus, had sin. Lazarus was a glutton probably. He was eating so much. Lazarus probably loves to gamble. Or Lazarus could probably would be having something of his own. He has got his own weaknesses in his life. Maybe he was chasing after girls. I do not know. Whatever weakness he died of, he died with the same weakness. And he rose again with the same weakness. Hello? Do you follow what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? He died with the same things. If he died and he rose again, he also ate the same amount of food. So he saw food suddenly after rising up. Suddenly he went up and off the food. Right? And probably at a time that Lazarus' eyes was on pretty girls and suddenly he looked at pretty girls. Right? Whatever weakness he had, he died with the weakness and rose again with the weakness. Those people who were raised in the Old Testament also rose from the dead, but they rose again as the same person. They had a character, they rose again with the same character. Do you follow what I'm saying? And they died again with the same character, with the same sin. Do you follow what I'm saying? So the Christ, you know, the difference between Christ's resurrection and the resurrection of all these people, you'll find in the Bible. And one of the people, scholars in Islam, I remember he's saying this. He openly said this. There is only one power which Jesus Christ has got, which nobody else has got, is the resurrection power. He is the only one who is allowed to raise the dead. He's the only one who can raise the dead. Why can he raise the dead? Because he's life. He's God. Amen? So Jesus, the difference today, brothers and sisters, I want to hear it very clearly. The difference between Jesus and those people who have been resurrected before is this. Every one of them died and they were raised with their same weaknesses, with their same strength, and then they died again. But Jesus, on the other hand, the Son of God, who became man, he died. The Word of God says he died with the sins, not of his own sin. In John chapter 16, verse 4-7 says that the prince of the world is coming after him. The prince, the ruler of the earth is coming after him. He has not found anything in me. Jesus, being without any sin, he died with all the sins of every one of us. Do you follow what I'm saying? The Word of God says, I'm not saying it. The Word of God says, the Spirit of God says, he died, he took all the sins of every one of them. And at the time of he was in Gethsemane, the weight of the sins was so big, so heavy, that he has to be crushed out and blood was coming out in his sweat. Then he was cursed, then he was put on the cross and he died. He took all the sins and he died on the cross and then he was buried. When he was buried, Jesus rose again on the third day. The Word of God says he became man, a new man. So Jesus died as with all our sins and he went down and now he rose again without sin. Hello? Hello? The Word of God says what? He paid the price for our sins. Where did he pay the price? On the cross. Where did he die? On the cross. Was he buried or not? Was he buried or not? Speak out loud. I'm sure you know the Word of God. Was he buried? He was buried. If today Jesus Christ did not rise up, today we have no faith in our lives. There is no testimony. The difference between other people who have risen up, they rose up with their sins. But Jesus Christ went with our sins, rose up without a sin. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. That is why today we celebrate that. Why we celebrate today is because Jesus Christ took our sins, went down, went to hell, the Word of God says, paid the price, and rose again without sin. Do you follow what I'm saying? The difference between him and others is that he's without sin now. And he's living without sin now. Amen? He has paid the price, he's taken the sins of ours. Now, brothers and sisters, you will like to find out what is that difference between Jesus Christ and others. If I say that if Jesus Christ died with our sins, he went down to earth, where is the testimony? Where is the Bible, biblical word? Where is the biblical word that he went down with our sins? He has paid the price for us. Even from Isaiah, the prophets have spoken about him and say he will be the one on the cross. He'll be scourged for our sins and he'll be buried. Jesus all the time, he talked about building a temple. He says, you destroyed his temple, in 3 days I will raise you up. I'll raise up this temple. I'll build this temple again. Remember that? In the four Gospels, you'll find Jesus mentioned that many times. When you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. The people thought it was the temple of the old time, that is a temple physically which was in Jerusalem. If you look at the difference between the prayer of Solomon in Kings, you find Solomon's prayer of dedication of the temple and Jesus chapter 17 prayer, you'll find almost similarity. Almost similarity. You know why? Because Jesus is not talking about the physical temple, he's talking about a temple you and I are. Amen. 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 So today, because Jesus is risen, he's cleansed us with his blood, and he's risen today, he's residing in this temple that he is now lifted up. Amen. Who's residing? He is residing in his spirit and on the temples that he's raised up. The difference between other leaders, in every religion, there is a leader. Every faith, there is a leader. How many of you believe that? Do you have a leader? Do you and I have a dealer, leader? Who is your leader? The word of God says that Jesus died with the sins of all of us. He went to death and he died and rose again on the third day and he still lives. People have seen him. Thousands have seen him after he has been risen and people have become testimony. Jesus even came to the disciples and sat down, the word of God says, had a meal with them as a man. And you see, the difference is all the other leaders have got a cemetery and to today there's a grave. Except for Jesus Christ's grave is the only one, our leader, is empty. Hallelujah. The only grave of a leader of any religion is empty is Jesus Christ. Till today they cannot prove. No one can ever prove that Jesus is still buried somewhere. In Turin they've got a shroud. They say they've got a figure of the mummy which says Jesus' mummy was actually being wrapped up. If you look at the word of God, people say he did not die. If you look at the pound of all those herbs they used to preserve him, if he is not dead, the herbs will kill him. In 3 days, the herbs will kill him. Can you just imagine today, if you go to the mortuary, you'll find a lot of them being, what they call it? They use the, what is the name of the, embalmment. What is the name of that chemical they use? They embalm him with a chemical. Okay, the moment you are actually, he's not dead also, you embalm him, a little while later he's dead. You know why? Because by that chemical they use, he's dead. Even he's not dead. That is why you'll find a lot of miracles of raising the dead. In countries where they don't use this embalming, many people are raised from the dead because they are not embalmed yet. And people can be raised. This happens in third world countries. Why? Because before they embalm, there is already a miracle happening. Somebody is praying over and they are raised from the dead. Amen? There are even pastors who have been embalmed and he was still raised by the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing is impossible with God Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, brothers and sisters, what I was saying just now is very simple. Our leader has only leader who is Jesus Christ who can say today, we can say that he's still alive and the other leaders are not living. There is proof that everyone has got a grave. But Jesus is no grave. Brothers and sisters, today's Resurrection Sunday, you must understand the promise of God. The promise of God that Jesus, Son of God, has come down as man. Jesus is 100% man, 100% God. Amen? Jesus is manusia stratos pratos, Tuhan. So there is no difference with him. He came as man to take away the sins of the man. But the word of God says he left all his glory behind and he came as man. He was born of the virgin. And he was born of the virgin so that there was no sin even in his birth. Hello? There was no sin even in his birth. Even his birth was extraordinary. Not an ordinary. His birth was extraordinary. And after he was even, look at Luke, you'll find that the people who prophesy about, even Zechariah prophesy about him. Even look at Simeon who prophesy about him. And the widow who was there in the temple who prophesy about him. They do not know Jesus Christ at all. But the Spirit of God take control of them, prophesied about Jesus Christ, who he is. Today, brothers and sisters, the Son of God came down alone here. But he also ate. He also slept, like you and I. Right? He also did everything else in the world. He also went to the toilet. Somebody asked me, how can God go to toilet? Can we understand? God became man. The Word was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word became alive, became flesh, and it dwelt among us. That is why there is God. If you are proven to say, God is not here because God cannot come. God is the person who is omnipresent, omnipotent, and ever powerful, that he can do anything. He can even intervene in the creation of God. He created something, he can also intervene. Can we? Hello? Why are you so sad? Are you all confused? God, if you have invented something, right, you can also intervene and re-correct it, is that? Right? If you have invented a bomb today, you can also invent it better, isn't it? Or even make it lesser, powerful. If you invented a computer today, you can also intervene in and do something about it. That's how it is like. God intervened in his creation and became man. So that a man that became flesh, the first Adam, can be saved. Now the second Adam has brought us back to the same status of first Adam, the relationship God was with us. The power, brothers and sisters. God, whatever he says, is powerful. He will always keep his power. Why do you say, I say that he'll keep his word and his power is powerful? God was 100%, Jesus was 100% man. He did everything else. He even healed on people and he lived on the Holy Ghost power. The power of the Holy Ghost was with him. And every time he prayed for people, there was healing. He raised the dead because the Holy Ghost power was with him. Because you'll find in baptism when he was baptized, you'll find in all the Gospels when he was baptized in Luke, he says that, you know, the power of the heavens was opened and there was a loud voice and the dove came down. The Holy Spirit came down like a dove upon him. Remember, he left everything, all power behind. For 30 years, he lived without power. Now the Holy Ghost at the age of 30 came upon him. And now he works miracles and signs and wonders. The glory of God. He worked in the Holy Spirit just like you and I can work in the Holy Spirit. Today we have the Holy Spirit. When he says something, surely it will happen. If you ask the Holy Spirit to heal you, he'll definitely heal you. If you ask the power of the Holy Spirit to be with you all the time, he'll be with you. Same way Jesus Christ had that same power. But he ate, he went to the toilet, he did everything else. But one thing he didn't do, he didn't marry. You'll find other leaders of their faith. They all marry. Some even marry a small child. There are people, I want you to get back to this because I want you to know the faith whom you are serving today. I'm not belittling anyone. I want you to have the faith of whom you are serving. Once you know whom you are serving, you don't have to criticize anybody, but inside you, you'll understand. He did not marry. He's pure without sin. And he died with all our sins and he died on the third day, rose again. Why did you do that? And Jesus, remember this. God in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, you'll find, God made a promise to Satan on the day. God made one promise. God, when the time of Eden, in the Garden of Eden, when Eve fell down and ate the fruit, what did God say? Serpent, you shall be on your belly from today onwards. You'll eat dust. The next thing, what did he tell the woman? Serpent, I tell you today, I make a promise to you, serpent today, I make a promise to you, Satan, the day will come, and this, the seed of this woman will become up one day, he'll rise up one day, and this seed of the woman will come up, and he'll crush your head, and you will just scourge his feet, heal. Amen. Go back and read that. That promise was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So when he died, Jesus died. He went to hell down. He went down, crushed the head of Satan. And he rose again now. And he is now victorious without any sin. So that you and I can live without sin. We can also overcome, become victorious in our sins. And become victorious in our soul, our spirit, and also in our body. That we can stand here united with Jesus Christ in his body. Amen. Jesus has to rise as a man. Because it's man who sinned. It's not God who sinned. Jesus, God kept his promise. So Jesus crushed, paid the price and crushed the head of Satan. He has no more power upon us. Why was the head crushed? He said the head was crushed. I want to tell you, you go back a little bit earlier and see. When was the Satan, chapter 3, you'll find. Satan twisted the mind of man. Satan twisted the mind. Do you think God says this, you know, if you eat this, you will be, you sure or not? Twisted the mind of the woman. That is why his head has to be crushed. So the woman can be redeemed. The man can be redeemed from his head. So a twisting of mind. The blindness. Everything that's been cheated, lies, all gone down onto the feet of Jesus Christ. Today, brothers and sisters, Satan has no power over us. The power of Christ is so great, he has no power upon any one of us here. I want to tell you today, I want to declare today, that Christ Jesus is the only one who's risen, and is risen up as man, so that man can live as man. If he died and he rose up only in spirit, there is nothing. The spirit goes back to God, the soul goes back to God. But he rose up as man, and he was ascended as man up into heaven. And he's seated there as an intercessor for man, sitting down before God, who is the spirit and truth. And he's saying, Father, have mercy on these children. I went through what they are going through. Every temptation I went through, Father. Have mercy on them. Interceding for every one of us. So if it's so precious, if you understand Jesus Christ, if he's so precious that he gave his life, his body, and he went through suffering, so we will not do anything that we will do to harm him. Amen? So we as believers of Christians, as believers, we must understand we have only one thing. We have the faith. We have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We live by his testimony. We live by his word, by his testimony that he is a risen God, and we live every day because he is a risen God. He is alive. When he call him, he will be with you. When he call his name, he will be with you. When he call his name out and he say, Jesus, Jesus, and surely he will be with you. There is no time that Jesus cannot manifest with us. Because the curtain was drawn out. The curtain was torn. There is no more barrier within God and man because of Jesus Christ. Because he lives, you and I can live today. Because he is a mighty God, he can do anything else. But every other person who raised up from the dead, they rose again with the same sin. They were not forgiven. If today, because Jesus has risen up, not only was sin was crucified on the cross, but also he rose up victorious, so that we can be victorious in our body too, in our soul too, in our spirit too. Amen? 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 Praise God. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? Who are you serving? Who is he? The Son of the living God. Who was man 100%, 100% God. And today he has overcome everything for us today. And I believe today, if you have that faith, if you believe in that, you will not give your heart to any other things in the world. You will not give in to any other things that comes and twist our mind. And say, this is the way, that is the way, and nothing. Nothing will twist our mind. Because Jesus has already crushed the mind of Satan's head. He's already crushed. He cannot twist our mind. Only we allow to be twisted. We cannot go back to the old way. The time when Jesus Christ, from the time Adam fell down and chased out from Eve, and Adam was chased out from the Garden of Eden, until the time, until Jesus came, so much of sin was committed. So thick. And Jesus washed every one of it for us. We still have our habits. But Jesus washed it. And Jesus says now, be corrected, child. Be corrected, child. Be corrected, child. I had a testimony of a man yesterday from US. He's a Chinese from China. From young, he was a gay. Very intelligent guy. He studied in USA. And I think it's Kansas City. He became a learned man, doctorate. His gay life, he did not understand. He says he's a gay all the time, but somehow or other nobody knew about him being a gay. Then time came, he also was involved in drugs. He started taking drugs. And being involved in drugs, later on he also started selling little bit by little bit to drugs, and he had gay friends. But his mother became a Christian. She started praying for him for year after year, more than 14 years. 15 years, 16 years, prayed for this young boy. And a time of examination came. Before examination, before he was graduated, he was kicked out from the university. And he is now a gay. He's kicked out from the university. He's now drugs. He's also now drug dealer, supplying to the small town Taifalas who are selling drugs. He was arrogant. His father and mother visited him and gave him a Bible. He took the Bible and threw it into the dustbin. The first Bible the mother received, with so much of, she's got so much of faith, and she wrote down some of the things, and she threw it into the dustbin the moment the father and mother went. The testimony moved me yesterday. He went on, continued, and the time came that he was found by the one day morning. He opened his door with a knock. He found a whole entire group of policemen, narcotics department, standing right in front of his door. And all the Alsatian dogs, you know, those sniffers to sniff out everything. He was found guilty. He was put into prison for more than 10 years or 15 years, almost life sentence-like. But even then, in the prison, he was still arrogant. Something happened to him. He felt very little. But one day, as he was passing by the garbage bin, what struck me was this. Somebody else also threw a Bible into the dustbin. Somebody in the prison was given a Bible. And that man didn't believe, he threw it. As he picked, he looked at it and he passed by, he came back, he said, something attracted on this Bible. He took it back. He read it. The moment he started reading, the Spirit of God took control of him. And he started reading, the Word of God became a double-edged sword in his life. He's a changed person. Then he realized his life was not about sexuality. His life was not about being into drugs or even hooked onto something. But his life was to believe totally in Christ, surrender totally in Christ. In Christ, he will have renewal. He gave up everything. From then on, slowly, he gave up everything else. And now, today, he's a preacher. He's a preacher. He told his mother, Mother, I want to enroll myself in a seminary. And the mother just dropped the phone. Because the prayer of the mother and the father for more than 14 years has paid off now. Why? He said one thing. I've read so many things. I'm a very learned man. He was doing his doctorate at the time, double PhD, when he was sacked out from his university. But I cannot find a person who's alive today and is my leader. Who's alive, a God who paid for my sins, who understands me and draws me back again to him. And now, I'm already alive now. Because he's alive, I'm alive today. And he went into the seminary. He started learning. After graduating from there, he started preaching for a while. Then he started his thing. He's now a lecturer in the university, in a seminary. Can you just imagine this man in the early, late 40s? His life has changed. His life is no more what he was before because of the living God. Because of the living God. From that day onwards, he never turned back. Because he says, I've never found anywhere that a God can give his life for you, become man and stand in the gap for you and took away all the sins of mine, all the punishment of mine. And yet, he rose again without sin and he still lives for me and still intercedes for me. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you and I are not serving a God who is an ordinary God. Understand this. This is the same God who parted the sea. This is the same God when there was no food, he was able to supply food. This is the same God who says there is no water, he was able to supply water in the desert. This is the same God who gave his only son. The Word became flesh and went through all the agony of man and died for us. If only our heart can change and know who we are serving, our life will be different from today onwards. If you only know who you are serving, our life will be different from today onwards. You are serving a mighty God. A God has no limits. You cannot limit God. You only can serve him by worship and true worship in him. Amen. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, who are we serving? We are serving a God who took away every sin of humanity in the past, in the present, in the future, and God has taken everything else onto himself, and he died with the sin. He rose again without a sin. Because he rose again, he went to hell. He crushed the head of Satan. He rose again, and he's now alive. There is nobody can ever say, pinpoint, this is the grave of Jesus Christ. Even then, the grave, which was, they say, in Jerusalem, there's nothing there. And he's risen. And we are serving a God who's alive. Not a dead God. We don't have to go to the graveyard. We don't have to go to Jerusalem to go to the grave to pray to Jesus Christ. We can pray from here. That is why in John chapter 4, verse 23, 25, 20, until 25, he says that you will serve a God who will serve his spirit. You will serve him in spirit and truth. You will not go to Jerusalem, that mountain, or this mountain, or that mountain to pray, but you will worship him in spirit and in truth. Wherever we are a temple of God, and the God's power is here. And Jesus says, unless I go, you will not receive the Holy Spirit. John chapter 17. Unless he goes, only then the Spirit of God came. Brothers and sisters, today, our God is a victorious God. Our God is a champion. Our God is champion. Our God is mighty. In every difficulty in your life, in every moment in your life, you came across and you will find God's hand was upon it. Until today, God has saved every one of us. And continue, God will save every others. And I pray today, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is upon every one of us today. And we will live. We will live that with that resurrection power that is overcomers and victorious in our life in the name of Jesus. Let's bow our head and pray. Father, we just want to thank you, Father. I want you to remember this. Your leader and my leader is alive. He's alive today. If only your heart is right today, whatever you ask for, something will happen today. God will do something today. God will bless every one of us. God does not look at the past, but looks at the future. Our God is a futuristic God. He's not a God of past. And Isaiah says, I will not remember the past sins. I will not remember anything of the past. You are believing in God, who is God, who is a powerful. Only your life is not doing very well. It's because you have put God into a cage and put him inside. And said, this is the limit of God. If today you let go, God's power will flow in your life. Where there is dryness in your life, something wet will come. There shall be rainy days now. Where there was a drought in your life, there shall be rain now. If there is anything that is you are lacking in your life, there's going to be something today. God is going to give it to you. If there is anything that you are seeking, God will provide you. Your heart is right. Your heart is right. Let's worship. Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord. You know the hearts of the people here, Lord. There are many who are seeking, and I pray, Father, for this, those who are here today. Lord, you will touch every one of them here today. That no one here will leave here today without something that they are looking for, Father God. Even if they are full, Lord, they don't need anything from you. A special touch of yourself today. Lord, I pray today, as your spirit moves here, you will touch every one of them here, Lord. Even as you walk among them today, you will touch, Lord. There is something new will happen today, Father. Something new. The world will come and go, but you will still remain, Lord. The same, for you are the Alpha and the Omega. You will never change. Sun may come, moon may come, rain might come. There could be drought, but you'll never change. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, that we know we serve a God who's so mighty. He's so powerful. A God who loves his people whom he created so they can worship him. And yet you came down, Lord. Even sin separated us from you, Father. But you gave a remedy for that through your only Son, through the suffering of your Son, Jesus Christ. And he rose him up without sin for our sake. We want to thank you, Lord. Your power of resurrection, no leaders of any faith has God, only you, Father. Only you, Lord Jesus. You rose again from the dead. And today, we believe, we trust, and we have the testimony of yours. In your testimony, we shall live. And we shall become a testimony too for you. That everything that we overcome in our life, that every blessing that we receive, will be a receiving power, Lord, that you have given us today. That we'll have a heart of receiving, a heart, Lord, to receive and to be molded by you, by your Spirit today. We thank you, Lord, that even you bless every one of them here, Lord, with every gift and everything they desire, everything that is barren in their life, there shall be no more barrenness. Everything, Father, which has been a failure in their life, there is no more failure because you are a God of victory. Lord, if there is a Lord, health issues. The Lord, you died with all the stripes. When he came up, you only came with the scars. No longer stripes, Lord. That shows the healing power of yours. In 3 days, every scars of yours was healed. So is our sicknesses today. Everything that has been spoken into our lives, our doctors, every x-ray that has been shown, everything that we believe we have in our body today, Lord, we surrender them to you today. You've been victorious for us. Every habits, every evil things that we have in our lives, every sin, you died for us. Change our mind, change our heart, Lord. Let that be this power. We live by your power, the resurrection power, that no one can be raised except for you, Lord. But you raise people till today through your power, only through your power. Thank you, Jesus. We serve you, Father. We serve a mighty God today. Amen. There are things that God has spoken to my life the last 3 days in the fast and prayer. He said the prophecies which was given in this church many years back, it was not put up in the tube because it was something that we thought it will not be affecting the people. God has said that every word that is given in this church will be put up. There'll be a lot of things that will be coming in the world the second half of the year. After June onwards, second half of the year, a lot of things that happen around the world, do not fear, the Lord says. Prices of things will go up very high. God says, do not fear. God is asking us to hold on to him and not to the world. God says that he is watchful of every of his children. Season will come and go, but God will not change. Amen. His eyes are on every one of us who are faithful in his life. He's looking for people who are faithful. People who have got that faith in him. The faith of resurrection power of Jesus Christ shall be upon all of us. And we know who we are serving. And I pray, even some of the prophecies God has given to me the last few days, I will pen it out and write it out and it will be on the internet. And some of those prayer warriors also in whom I know of in the US, some of the prayer warriors here in Malaysia, and one in Singapore has confirmed the same what I receive from the Lord. So the Lord is speaking not only to me. Understand there is nobody greater than Jesus Christ. He's speaking to many people at this time. Unless you understand whom you are serving, that a mighty God, you will not have fear. Unless we know that he can do everything, if he can resurrect himself up, the Lord was resurrected on the third day, there's nobody else who can do it. God is speaking to all of us in this church. Prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. Nothing else. Three times he says, prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. God's word is surely to come to pass. God's word will surely be strong. He does not instill fear into people. He only gives an answer for a problem. Even if there's a problem, he'll always give readily answers. And he'll mend ways that the children of God will be saved in every moment of time. You might hear so many things happening around the world. Do not fear. Hear the word of God. The word of God is the truth in our life. It will strengthen you in these days. Strengthen you in head to see the year 2013, 2014, 2015. As God has spoken, the year 2015 will be a year of crossing. The 2018 is a year that God is going to see his eagles fly over. You'll see horsemen. You'll see the white horses thereafter. God's word is not fear, my child. Strengthen your ways. Mend your ways. Have a heart for me. Only me, says the Lord to all of us today. If only we understand the love of Jesus Christ, the love of the Father. If you are a father, you'll understand. A father's heart is to love children. Never to let the children be destroyed in any way. That's the heart of the Father. Do not hear teachings which is not right. Do not hear the things that will come pass by you and tickle your mind, give you anxiety. I am a God who relieves anxiety, for I gave my only son to suffer for you, says the Lord. In me, says the Lord to every one of us, in him we have everything that we need in our life. If you only believe, if you only believe, if you only believe and get your hearts right, there shall be mighty growth of my people. There'll be a great outpouring of the Spirit of God. People will be visited. People, even your neighbor, might be visited by the Lord, personally by himself. No laws, no governments can stop him. The fire of the Holy Spirit is moving mightily from the east to the west. He's moving mightily, touching every heart. If your heart is not right, do not get back to him. You might miss this time. There was a great revival of the Spirit of God in the past. This year, the revival is greater than ever before. Unless you understand the heart of Jesus Christ, you will not catch the fire of the Holy Ghost. This is the time. Prepare, says the Lord to all his bride. Every one of us are his bride. A church is a gathering of people of his bride, a place where they come and worship him together. Brides, get ready. Do not be like the women with the lamp without the oil. Do not wipe out the light that is burning inside you. Do not even cover it with anything, but let the light shine so that it can shine through you, says the Lord to you. And the power that I hold in my hand, you will see that my victorious power to overcome everything that the world creates. There'll be a great revival and repentance in the West. The Western nations will see repentance this time. Western nations will see people bowing down. And the Lord will visit every man and woman whom God has chosen among the Ishmaelites. Every lies and deception will be taken away. This are a season God is prepared for us for. We live in a time of season. And this generation is a generation so important to God. For we shall be the torchbearers, passing on the torch for the next generation to come. Let the torch that you have, let the light that you have be so bright that the children who receive it will carry on with that brightness and bring forth more brightness into the generation to come. Get ready. Get your hearts right. Shake your body away from the things that holds you bound in this world. Shake your soul, that everything that lust will bow down before Jesus Christ and humble itself before him. Let it be done according to the word of God. Amen.